Blog Talk Radio.
And all access is all inclusive. Welcome to the NFL Draft Bible. It's the on the clock with the Buffalo Bills. They finished 4-12 this past season. I'm your host, Beau Marchant, along with our other special host, Ralph Mancini. Ralph, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Should be a lot of fun analyzing another one of those teams with a million needs.
Yeah, you know, and it's so nice to actually have a guest, and I shouldn't say a guest, but another guy to host the show with. I'm always doing these player spotlight shows by myself, so it's nice to have somebody just to talk to, somebody else that can feed questions to the guys that are calling in. We're going to be joined tonight with Sal Mariana, the Rochester Democrat Chronicle beat writer for the Buffalo Bills for about, I think, the last 20 years he's been covering the team. But, you know, Ralph, before he calls in, let's get into it, you know, with each other. I mean, the Bills, they're 4-12. I mean, what are your thoughts as this team looks, you know, the NFL draft's only a few months away. I mean, with that third pick overall, do you think they stick there? Or do you think they drop down? And if they do stay there, who do you think they take?
Well, I think that they're going to stay there. I mean, unless, you know, somebody just comes in and blows their socks off with an offer, I think they're probably going to stay there. And I think what they should do is they should focus on the defensive side of the ball. You know, last year we take a look at, you know, what they did defensively, and they were the worst team in the NFL in terms of stopping the run. Also, they need help with their pass rush as well. They only had 27 sacks all season. I believe only two other teams were even worse than that. And so, you know, you got to start in the trenches. You know, a lot of people might want to go for that big-name, high-ticket guy, you know, bring in a quarterback like a Cam Newton, a guy that's going to get people excited and sell tickets. But I don't think that's their primary need. Ryan Fitzpatrick did a great job last season, I think, and at the very least, he kept that team competitive. He gave that team a chance. Even though they only won four games, they were in a lot of those games. So I think that I would definitely focus on that defensive line or outside linebacker. You got to look to improve that run defense and the pass rush as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think the guy that they're looking at, Chan Gailey was down in Mobile. He coached the squad. He spent a lot of time with Von Miller, so I think he knows what type of guy Von Miller is. And spending that time with him, I think that outside linebacker position with them switching to the 3-4, I think he's an ideal fit for that team. I mean, who knows what direction, but I totally agree with you, Ralph. I think moving in that direction is definitely the way to go for the Buffalo Bills. The defensive side of the ball, they struggled last season. I think they finished 27th in the NFL. They only had, I think, 26 or 27 sacks right near the bottom. The 3-4, the transition, they need some playmakers. I think they allowed the fifth most points in the league. So not only are they not making plays, but they're giving up big plays. So a lot to talk about here with the Buffalo Bills players, or the on the clock show. I'm so used to saying the player spotlight show, but it's the Buffalo Bills on the clock show here from the NFL Draft Bible guys. Ralph Mancini, I'm your show host, Beau Marchant. Looking at the last year's draft, I mean, were you surprised by the lack of big plays by C.J. Spiller?
You know something, I just think overall that was a wasted pick. I mean, you take a look at a lot of successful teams out there, and they take their running backs in the fifth round and the sixth round. I mean, take a look at the Green Bay Packers. When was the last time they actually spent a first-round pick on a running back? You know, you could get a good running back in the later rounds, and look, as good as C.J. Spiller was, they had so many other overriding needs. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, C.J. Spiller wasn't a great contributor during the regular season. So, you know, I think I was surprised that C.J. Spiller wasn't a little better. But, again, I don't think they should have picked him in the first place, not when they, you know, when they had needs on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, you know, Ralph, I thought, I mean, especially, I mean, at that time, the offensive line was so bad. You know, they struggled so hard to just, you know, I mean, when Trent Anderson was at under center, you know, nothing could work with him under center. And when they went with C.J. Spiller, I just thought, all the other things, I mean, and the only bright spot on the team at the time was Fred Jackson. They still had Marshawn Lynch. So you looked at the depth of the position. You said, what is one thing the Buffalo Bills do not need, and what do? They end up taking Spiller. And, you know, I was looking, before we went on, I was looking at some of his numbers. I mean, he averaged almost, 5.9 yards per carry at Clemson. He arrives in the NFL 3.8. And I think the standard bearer for just yards per carry, you know, you want to be right around 4. So not only was he not effective as a runner, but he wasn't even that big play threat that the Buffalo Bills wanted. That said, though, the Bills do kind of tend to get some late round picks, and they kind of have a nice thing going in that term, you know, getting guys that they draft late. The higher end guys don't seem to pan out. What's your thought on that?
Well, you know, just to close the chapter on C.J. Spiller, yeah, I didn't like the fact that he tended to bounce a lot of his runs to the outside a little too much. He's got to learn how to be more of a north-south runner down the line. As far as their later picks are concerned, you know, I think there are a couple of guys that stood out to me. I think they did a decent job with a guy like Arthur Motes, who really came on late in the season, the outside linebacker out of James Madison. You know, especially in his last four games, he had 16 tackles and two sacks. He's got long arms. He's got tremendous burst off the edge. I think that's a guy that, at the very least, he could be a situational pass rusher, even if he doesn't turn out to be a superstar. But as far as the other, you know, late-round guys, I mean, you know, you're looking at Ed Wang, the offensive tackle, Danny Batten, Levi Brown, and, you know, none of these guys really – they haven't really shown anything yet. They're more developmental players. I think the real gem there was Arthur Motes, the outside linebacker in the sixth round.
Yeah, and then, you know, it seems like they get that nice gem every year. I mean, the sixth round, like you said, Arthur Motes, he played great for them. Kyle Williams, I'm trying to think, who else? Steve Johnson, seventh round pick the year before. He comes through for him. I like the receiver from Connecticut, Marcus Easley, even though he was kind of pinged up. You know, I think they do a serviceable job getting guys late, but it's those early round picks. Aaron Maven has been a disaster. I doubt he's with the team. You know, looking at another guy, not so much draft wise, what do you think about them bringing back Sean Merriman, Ralph?
Well, you know what it is? I mean, I think the general manager there, Buddy Nix, you know, he feels comfortable with certain guys, obviously. You know, he has a history with Sean Merriman. Nix did work for the San Diego Chargers prior to becoming the general manager out in Buffalo. And he's, you know, Merriman is a cheap investment right now. I mean, he's only 26 years old. He does have a track record of success. And so, you know, Nix is rolling the dice with him. He knows the player. He knows he could be successful. You know, quite frankly, I don't know if he has anything left. I mean, I've seen him play the past couple of years, and I think the guy is shot. But, again, you know, Nix knows him better than we do, and so he thinks he can get something out of him. Now, obviously, he's never going to be the player that we saw years ago when he first came onto the scene. But even if he can maybe get him to play half as well as he did, you know, that's still better than having Aaron Maven out there as your primary pass rusher.
Excellent. And we're joined with Sal Mariana, the Democrat or Rochester Democrat Chronicle writer for beat writer for the Buffalo Bills. Sal, we appreciate you taking some time. We know you're very busy. You got another show to do in only minutes away, but we appreciate you coming on the clock show, Buffalo Bills. How you doing tonight?
Good. How you guys doing on there? Pretty good.
We're doing great. I'm Bo. It's Ralph Mancini on the other end. Sal, looking at what you think the Bills are going to do with that third pick, me and Ralph are discussing that they should go defensive side. What do you think they should do, and in your mind, what would you do?
Yeah, absolutely, guys. I would resist the urge to pick the quarterback that everyone wants them to pick, Cam Newton, and I'd go on defense. They've got so many holes. Their front seven is, you know, one of the weakest in the NFL. There's plenty of guys there on the defensive side. The linemen are there. I don't know if the kid from Clemson, Bowers, will be available. Fairley would probably be there, the kid from Auburn. But I absolutely believe it's got to be, you know, somebody in the front seven on defense. Cam Newton is just too much of a risk.
Yeah. Ralph, any questions for Sal?
Yeah, Sal, what type of impact do you think that the free agents are going to have on this draft? You know, the Buffalo Bills have a couple of unrestricted free agents that have been key members of this offense over the past few years. I'm talking about guys like Paul Posluszny. You know, I'm talking about guys like the safety Dante Whitner, who's been there for the past 5 or 6 years. Do you think that the Buffalo Bills are looking to re-sign these players? Are they going to continue being part of the future for this Buffalo Bills defense?
Well, my opinion on Posluszny, I think they're going to try to get something done with him. They do think that he can have a future in Buffalo. I think they're going to move on from Dante Whitner. Remember, he was not a first-round pick of this regime's, and you know he just has not been an impact player. In his defense, you know, he should never have been picked in the first round to begin with. That wasn't his fault. I mean, he never lived up to that number 8 overall selection, and again, that wasn't his fault. But you know, when you're picking the first round, people just expect a whole lot more than he was able to produce. So I think they'll move on from him. But I think Buzz Lawson will be back in the picture. But, you know, they've just got so many holes up and down, like I said, that front seven. Now Marcus Stroud has been released, and he should have been released. He was basically useless the last 2 years. They've got to find defensive ends. They've got to find a pass-rushing linebacker. I heard you talking about Aaron Maven. He will never be able to play for this team or in this league. I think he's a complete bust. So, absolutely, they've got a couple guys that are held over. Kyle Williams is a nice player for them. Juwan Edwards is a decent player. But a lot of holes up front, and they've got to fill them before, like I said, they start thinking about quarterback at number 3.
Once again, Sal Mariano, the Democrat, Rochester Democrat Chronicle. Sal, do you think the Bills as a team here, I mean, are they financially capable of kind of going out and getting some big name guys in free agency? I mean, I know it's not a ton of money, but Bob Sanders was rumored to pay a visit. O.J. Atogwe, the Rams safety. I mean, do you think the Bills would be pretty active in this market?
I don't think they will be. They never have been, especially in these last few years. You know, it's been their revenue streams are just getting smaller and smaller. It's harder for them to compete with the big boys in the league. You know, Whitner wanted big money. He's not going to get that from Buffalo. I wouldn't touch Bob Sanders at all with all his injury issues. Atogwe, he's interesting. I think they should give him a look. But the Bills' philosophy is to build through the draft. It's definitely Buddy Nix's philosophy. He's only been there the 1 year. But I think they're going to be relatively quiet on the free agent market, and they're going to try to do it through, you know, the draft and trying to pick up. They may go for some of those middle-tier guys, which has been their MO for several years, for several regimes, actually. But I don't expect a big splash from the Bills, no, especially not in this climate with the CBA undecided and, you know, all that. So, no, I don't think you'll see too many splashes by the Bills.
And how about the fan base with Ryan Fitzpatrick? I mean, I think he came in, I thought he played fantastic. I thought he brought some life to an offense that had no identity. And, I mean, do you think they maybe take a quarterback maybe later in the third, fourth round, a guy that they might want to groom to be his replacement? Or do you think they just kind of shy away from that position and just let him have his run at it?
No, they will pick a quarterback in the draft. Again, there's been a lot of rumor that they want to, you know, give Newton a good look. But I think the prudent play for them would be to get a quarterback maybe in the second or third round. You know, a kid that, you know, I'll throw a name out there. The kid, Ricky Stanzi from Iowa, seems like a pretty solid second-round guy. And, you know, he's a guy who's had 3 years of starting experience in the Big Ten, has a track record. I'm not big on one-year wonders. And Cam Newton won the Heisman Trophy, but he had 1 year of college experience. The Bills just can't take a gamble like that, whereas a guy like Stanzi has played in, you know, big-time college football. That's a guy they might take a look at. But I think they will pick a quarterback. I just hope, for Bills fans' sake, it's not going to be the number 3 overall pick.
And you're listening to the On the Clock Buffalo Bill Show. I'm Bo Marchand, along with Ralph Mancini and our special guest, Sal Mariano from the Rochester Democrat Chronicle. Ralph, thinking about, you know that defensive side of the ball, I'm interested to hear both of your guys' takes on, besides that front seven, I mean, and if Dante Whitner doesn't get brought back, I mean, what do the Bills do? Do they go to free agency, or have they got to build through the draft as well?
Well, I think that, you know, in the draft, I think obviously you have to focus on that front seven, as we already spoke about. Then there's a safety issue as well. And then I think, you know, maybe they could also focus on bringing in another cornerback also. But I wanted to ask Sal, what about on the offense? I mean, we've seen this offense just really improve. It was like night and day from the year before. We've seen the Buffalo Bills go out there and hang 30, 40 points on good defenses this past season. Later on in the draft, where do you see the Bills, what position do you see them focusing on? Sort of like, you know, looking for that missing piece for that offense for it to really take off. And I'm looking at two positions over here, offensive tackle and that tight end. Do you agree, or would you look in another position or go in another direction? in terms of looking for that missing piece for that offense.
Absolutely, I agree with that. I mean, to me, their offense, Ralph, I did not think their offense made many strides at all. They still ranked 25th in the league in yards or whatever it was. Eighth year in a row they've been in the bottom quarter. They scored more than 20 points in four games all year. I mean, they had a couple of those big games. The Cincinnati game stands out. But their offense
the Ravens
still
game
most of the year. The Ravens game, they had a nice game. But really, they topped 20 points four times out of 16 games. So that, to me, isn't a whole lot of progress. Fitzpatrick was an upgrade. I'll say that. He was an upgrade, certainly, over Trent Edwards. But, you know, again, he was a bottom quarter, I think, in the league in passer rating and various statistics. So they've got a lot of things they have to work on. Number one offensive line, their offensive line. They've got a decent interior with Wood, Handgartner, and Levitre. Their tackles are, you know, Demetrius Bell, I still think he's better off on the right side. And I would if there's one position I'd like to see them spend in free agency, it would be a left tackle if there was anybody available. But that being said, they're probably going to leave Bell on the left side and go find a right tackle in the draft. And then tight end, they've been looking for a tight end for 20 years, basically. They haven't had anybody at that position since, you know, Keith McKellar and Pete Metzelaars. So that's a position they really would like to fill, but I don't see that being a priority, you know, above, say, round four. I don't think they're going to spend a first, second, or third round pick on a tight end. So definitely a position of need, just not sure where they're going to fill it at this point.
And looking at last year's draft, I mean, they take C.J. Spiller. I thought that kind of threw everybody, you know, for a surprise when that name was announced. I mean, for you, you've been covering this team. I mean, what was your reaction when you heard Spiller come off the board and the Buffalo Bills were the team that took him?
Yeah, that was one of those typical Bills. You know, it just made no sense at all. That was the one position last year where you figured, you know what, they've got some depth with Fred Jackson and Marshawn Lewis. That, you know, that was a person they were okay with. And then to take C.J. Spiller was just silly. It was a luxury pick that should be made by a good team, a good offense, not the Bills. You know, they have this philosophy over there that's driven us crazy for years. They just don't draft big people high. They seem to go for the flashy toys. That was the third running back they've picked in the first round. You go back to 2003 with Marshawn Lynch. Willis McGahee. Just a silly pick. Marshawn Lynch. You know, that was kind of a silly pick in 2007, and then Spiller. So, yeah, I mean, and Spiller pretty much showed that it's going to be a tough time for him in the NFL. He's very Reggie Bush-like, and, you know, I think it was a luxury pick that the Bills had no luxury to make.
And looking at that tight end position, I mean, Ralph commented, and you commented on it as well. Is it a lack of just the Bills getting the tight end involved in the offense, or is just that tight end talent where, you know, the tight end can stand out in the Buffalo Bill offense?
Well, they for whatever reason, they just never rely on their tight end to get involved in the passing game. They've always gone for guys who are basically, you know, third offensive tackles. You look around the league, the best offenses always seem to have a tight end who can get downfield and make plays. It just gives your quarterback that other option, and especially in Buffalo when they've had trouble protecting the quarterback. It'd be nice to have a tight end who can get out of that, get into that pattern and give, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick or whoever it is another option to throw the ball to. And they just haven't had that guy. They thought they were going to get the guy with Sean Nelson. And he looked like, on paper, he might be finally the tight end that would, you know, fill that role. He's been a bust. He's done nothing for whatever it's been, 2 or 3 years now. Can't get over these migraine headaches. And can't get on the field. So,
yeah,
they've got to find someone to do that.
Plus, he was also suspended for 4 games, which shows a lack of maturity on his part dealing with some type of substance abuse. But whatever the case may be with that, you know, we could talk about players all day long, but it's also the coaching that has a big effect on the team. It's about the coaches. It's about the leadership a lot of times as well. And what type of impact do you think a guy like Dave Wannstedt is going to have on this team? He's coming in as an assistant coach. Maybe it's an indictment of George Edwards as a defensive coordinator. But whatever the case may be, I think this is a great hire. There's a stat that I saw on Dave Wannstedt. In 11 of his 16 seasons in the NFL, his defenses have ranked no lower than 12th in the NFL. Well, what is your impression of Dave Wannstedt, and do you think that down the road they're going to make him the defensive coordinator? I mean, it looks like a great decision on their part.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the hire of Wannstedt. You know, it brings another good voice into the room. To be honest with you, I think by giving him that assistant head coach title, he's already de facto the defensive coordinator. I think that he'll be the one that Gailey's going to rely on to, you know, go, you know, make the game plan. I think George Edwards will keep that title, but really, I mean, Wanstead's got all the experience. I think it's a great hire for the Bills. He has had success in the league. You can't deny that. So, yes, definitely a good move, step in the right direction.
And go ahead, Ralph.
No, no. Also, I want to ask you about one more guy. Just looking at last year's draft, you know, one player that we were excited about at the NFL Draft Bible was the wide receiver Marcus Easley out of Connecticut. Unfortunately, he was hurt during training camp. Do you see big things up ahead for Marcus Easley? Is anybody in the organization talking about him maybe possibly being a key factor in that offense?
Yeah, to be honest, Ralph, I mean, nobody has said a thing about him because he got hurt so early in training camp last year.
Mm-hmm.
We really have no feel for what he's got. But I know the Bills liked him. They picked him in the fourth round. They thought he had some upside. So I think, yes, definitely he'll be a player that they're going to look at pretty hard in whatever OTAs they have and then training camp. You know, they've got a decent receiver core. It definitely can use a bump. I mean, I'm not sold on, you know, Stevie Johnson had a nice year, nice story. But he certainly isn't a number one type of guy. So they still have to find that player. I'm not sure Easley's the guy, but I think he'll help them out.
You know, and Sal, you bring up an interesting point. You know, Lee Evans, first-round pick, Wisconsin. Talk a little bit about him. I mean, I know the offensive struggles by the quarterback position obviously has led to some dismal seasons by him. But, on a, you know, when you see him every, you know, every day, every week when they're playing, I mean, what's your take on Lee Evans? I mean, how good do you think he is? And, I mean, is he a number one receiver, or could he be if the right combination of a quarterback and an offense was in place?
To be honest, guys, I mean, Lee has been in a tough situation. He's gone through, I don't know, how many offensive coordinators now, how many quarterbacks. He's been in a bad offense his whole career. I think early on, he was a terrific number one receiver. Believe it or not, he had his best year when J.P. Lossman was here. Everyone laughed at Lossman, but those two were a heck of a combination in 2006. Ever since then, guys, he just has not been able to produce really much of anything for this offense. And again, there are circumstances there with all the struggles they've had with protecting the quarterback and getting a decent quarterback. I think Lee's a good player, but is he number one receiver anymore? I just don't think so. Not for this team, at least.
That's again, once again, Sal Mariani, the Rochester Democrat Chronicle here with Bo Marchant and Ralph Mancini on the Clock Buffalo Bills show here by the NFL Draft Bible. Sal, I'm going to give you one more question, and I'm going to let Ralph give you one because I know you got to run. I mean, in 4-12 this past season, what's the realistic goal, I mean, for the team to – you know, what's going to make you happy at the end of the day from the 2011 season with the Buffalo Bills?
Oh, I think if they can get to 500, that'd be a heck of a jump. That'd be a four-game jump. Remember, guys, they're in one of the hardest divisions in the league. I mean, New England is still going to be New England, and the Jets are on the rise. I mean, the Jets are going to be, you know, that's a good team. And Miami, you know, I think the Bills can definitely compete with Miami and be on the same page. But, you know, only two teams are going to make the playoffs out of that division. And it ain't going to be Buffalo this year. I can pretty much guarantee you that. So they get back to 500. I think they've done some good work.
Yes, Sal. And on a final note regarding the draft, you know, we've spoken about the Bills having that flexibility along the front seven. They could either go for that outside linebacker like a Von Miller, or they can go for, you know, the more traditional defensive lineman to play in that 3-4 defense. But if they do go with the outside at the outside linebacker position, to me, it would tell me that the Bills are comfortable with some of the rookies that I think performed pretty well this past season. And I'm talking about, and you know, guys that they took in the second and third rounds. Number one, Terrell Troop out of Central Florida, and in the third round, Alex Carrington out of Arkansas State. Do you think those guys are ready to take on a bigger role? So if the Bills do decide to go with that hybrid pass rusher, you know, then, you know, maybe the Bills would be able to, you know, to plug in those pieces, Carrington and Troop, as maybe even starting players.
Yep, absolutely. They are hoping that Troop and Carrington are what they thought they were going to be. You know, that was one of the reasons why they moved out Marcus Stroud, didn't need to pay him all that money. So they definitely have they have him on their radar. It was unfortunate last year. I was disappointed that they didn't use those guys very much. That season got away from the Bills. It was obvious they were going nowhere, and I just thought they should have played those guys a whole lot more. Why not them involved last year, some game experience under their belts, and, you know, then they move into this season where they're probably going to be expected to contribute a whole lot more, but it just never happened. They really didn't get them involved at all. So, to me, that was a bad move. But, yeah, you're right. Those guys are going to have to perform. Guys like Arthur Motes, who had a pretty decent, you know, second half of the year when he got in the lineup. They're expecting those guys to become players. Those were their draft picks. You know, this regime's draft picks, they've got to come through. So, yeah, absolutely. Those guys will be in the mix.
Excellent. Well, Sal, we appreciate you taking some time. We know you got to run, but we appreciate you coming here on the Clock Buffalo Bills show.
Hey, no sweat, guys. Anytime.
Thanks a lot.
And that is Sal Mariano from the Rochester Democrat Chronicle joining us here on the Clock Buffalo Bills show. Well, you know, Ralph, at least we all were kind of on the same page. It wasn't like he went in one direction. Or I think we're all – it was a unanimous vote that we all think the Buffalo Bills should definitely put some help on that front seven on the defensive side of the ball. And I think, you know, having him come on, you know, shed some light. And I love the question about Wonstadt. I was interested in that myself. I think that was a great hire. I think he brings a lot of stability to that team that definitely needs some. I mean, what's your, I mean, outlook for you, Ralph? I mean, what do you think this team, I mean, what's the ceiling on what type of season this Bills team can have?
Well, here's the thing with me. You know, a lot of people might be looking at the Buffalo Bills and seeing that they were a little bit more explosive on offense, and they might be feeling good about that. And I have to admit, I was impressed from what I saw from guys like Ryan Fitzpatrick and Stevie Johnson and Fred Jackson and guys like that. But to me, in the NFL right now, in 2011, it's not about the five-year plan anymore. You've got to be good now. I mean, fans don't want to wait around. Ownership doesn't want to wait around for a coach, you know, to finally show signs of improvement in year four, year five. Things move so fast in the NFL nowadays that I think that, you know, the Buffalo Bills are going to have to really show something. And I'm not saying that they have to be a playoff team this upcoming season, but if they can at least reach an 8-8 or a 9-7 record, to me, their season in 2011 is going to be a failure. I mean, how many 4-12 and 5-11 seasons can the Buffalo Bills fans put up with? I mean, let's face it, it's been 11 consecutive years now that the Bills have missed the playoffs. I mean, I don't know about you. I know you're not a Bills fan, and I'm not a Bills fan, but, I mean, if I were, man, I would be totally frustrated. And, you know, quite frankly, yeah, we could talk about all the positives, you know, about the Bills, you know, how they scored more points this past season. But at the end of the day, they only had 4 wins. So I think that they're really going to have to focus on at least achieving a 500 record, and I would expect no less if I was a Buffalo Bills supporter.
Yeah, it's sad because, you know, I mean, growing up, I think, we were witness to that great run they had back in the late 90s where they went to 4 straight Super Bowls and they kind of dominated the AFC. And, you know, since that time, I mean, I think since, like, 93, I think, you know, I think that was the last of the run, that 6-game running streak from 88 to 93, 6 winning seasons. That was the longest in Buffalo Bills history. You got to date back to, I think, 1962 where they won 5 straight. And since that time, like you said, it's just kind of been a lackluster effort on, you know, there just hasn't been a team that these Buffalo Bills fans can rally around. You know, Ralph, I was looking at some stuff, and I thought it was interesting from, you know, that run that team had. You had Kelly, you had Andre Reed and Thurman Thomas. From 86 to 1996, 8 of those 9 seasons, those were the clubhouse leaders, you know, from yards at those positions. So you had stability. Since that time, only 4 times, it happened twice. You had Bledsoe, Moulds, and Henry, and you had Trent Edwards, Marshawn Lynch, and Lee Evans. So I just think there's no stability within this team. I mean, the quarterback's kind of been a turnsaw of different guys coming in and out. I think the running backs, you know, Travis Henry, Willis McGahee, Marshawn Lynch, Fred Jackson, C.J. Spiller, no identity to the team. If I'm a Bills fan, I hope I know you want them to make the playoffs. I think if they're lucky, I think they win 6 games this year. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say they're probably a 5-6 win team. But,
yeah,
you know, being optimistic, maybe they could turn out to be a 7 or 8 win team. But, yeah, I agree with you. I see right now, looking at their talent, looking at all the holes that they have, particularly on defense, I think they're more of a 5 or 6 win team. And I think the biggest mistake that past regimes have made in, you know, selecting players and going out and grabbing free agents and drafting players. I think the mistakes that they've made, the biggest mistake, I think, is just bringing in the right player to play in Buffalo. I mean, let's face it, playing in Buffalo is not for everybody. I mean, it's a small market, and, you know, a lot of these young players, you know, they want to go down, you know, to Miami. They want to go out to California, to San Francisco, and be in the nice climates and be, like, in major cities like New York. And let's face it, in Buffalo, there's not a whole heck of a lot going on for a young player out there. And, you know, then you're going to have to also play in the cold weather. You're going to have to put up with the snow. So playing in Buffalo is not for everybody. And you take a look at their past few drafts, and, you know, they've brought in, like, head cases. Like, you know, you just mentioned a couple of guys, a guy like Travis Henry, a guy like Marshawn Lynch. I mean, these are not guys that you build around, but yet again, you're picking them with, you know, your top one, your top or your top two picks with first and second round picks. And so, you know, that sets a bad precedent. You know, you even take a look at a guy that they picked in the second round back in 2008, the big wide receiver, James Hardy, who also turned out to be a big stiff. So I think, you know, I don't know where Buffalo's priorities are. I'm not talking about this regime, but I'm talking about, you know, the other, you know, general manager, pro personnel people that were there, you know, the guys like Tom Modrak and guys like John Guy. I mean, you know, picking guys just – I don't know, maybe they were just looking to sell some tickets, you know, bring on some flashy skill position guys. But, you know, to me, I don't think they focused enough on character to see, you know, what type of person and what type of work ethic these players brought with them up to Buffalo.
And, you know, I'm kind of laughing. I mean, listening to what Sal said when he was on the show, you know, when we talked about the filler pick and you addressed it as well. I mean, some of the picks they make, they just don't make sense. So instead of thinking of what the Buffalo Bills should do or what you think they might do, off the top of your head, what's that oddball pick at the number three position that's going to make you kind of shake your head and say, I can't believe they took this guy?
Cam Newton. I think if they take Cam Newton, I'm really going to be scratching my head, because I'm looking at this quarterback class right now, and I don't know what your take is on it, but I don't see any great quarterbacks out there. Actually, my favorite guy is Christian Ponder, but he comes with a lot of health issues, a lot of question marks in terms of his durability. But I'm taking a look at a lot of these other guys that are being bandied about as, you know, the top three or the top four, the top five quarterbacks. And I don't see any quarterback out there that's ready to step in now and take control of a team. If you bring in Cam Newton as your number three overall pick, what that tells the city and what that tells the organization is that this is a player that's going to be ready to take over, if not now, then next year. You know, this is a guy that is going to be starting at some point. You're putting a lot of pressure on the team, on the coaching staff, and you're putting a lot of pressure on the player by taking him number three overall. And, you know, it almost gets to the point where, you know, fans are expecting you to play Cam Newton, if that turns out to be the case, where fans are going to be expecting that you play Cam Newton, you know, somewhere like in week 8 or week 10. And I don't think that's fair to the player, because I think this kid is a project. I think this is a kid that you have to sit down, you're going to have to teach him the nuances of the game, you're going to have to teach him how to read defenses. You're going to have to teach him that, you know, when your first read is not open, you don't just take off and run with the ball. You know, sometimes you're going to have to sit back there. You're going to have to step up in the pocket and look for your second or third or even fourth receiver and go through your progressions. So I think that if they take Cam Newton, I'm really going to be scratching my head and wondering, you know, what the heck Buddy Nix is doing out there in Buffalo.
Excellent. And our NFL Draft Bible main man, Ralph Mancini, here on the On the Clock Buffalo Bills show, along with myself, Beau Marchant, talking Buffalo Bills. We just had Sarah Mariano from the Rochester Democrat Chronicle. He joined us early, so if you came in late, you can podcast this. You can download it to the MP3. You can do driving a car. You can go running. You could go for a walk. You could lay in bed. You could just sit and, you know, meditate and hear what we're talking about with the Buffalo Bills draft. Ralph, now, we talked about the goofiness of it. If you have the Buffalo Bills in your best interest, what do you do? What's the best selection that they make come April?
Well, I think that I would be looking at a guy like Marcell Dareus. To me, Dareus is a guy who is versatile. He could play both in the 4-3 and the 3-4. He brings the size. He brings a little pass rush ability, but he's also stout enough to play against the run if you line him up in that 5 technique. To me, I think that Marcell Dareus can come in and be an instant contributor. He comes from a successful program. He's not a one-year wonder. I think he's a safe pick, and I think he's a solid pick. And that's the direction I would go in, because let's face it, I mean, look, I wouldn't have a problem with Von Miller either at that third spot, but I think Von Miller comes with a few more questions than a guy like Marcell Dareus. You know, a few years ago, the Bills took a guy like Aaron Maben, who wasn't big enough to play the defensive end position when they were using that 4-3 scheme. Von Miller is not a huge guy himself. So while I think that Miller is a lot better than Maben, I would feel a lot safer going with Marcell Dareus and then looking for that outside hybrid pass rush linebacker later on in the draft.
And Ralph's talking about the Alabama defensive tackle, and when he says coming from a great program, who can argue with what Nick Saban has done there in Alabama, a national championship, and like you said, Marcell was a key piece to that defense, and a lot of great things happened with him, you know, pushing that front defensive side of the ball. Ralph, I mean, I'm curious as well. I mean, you know, I mean, throughout this draft, I mean, I think the Bills have 4 selections, so I don't think there's going to be a lot of picks they can go through. So, I mean, you think they kind of go one side of the ball, maybe just defense, or you think they're kind of split it up, you know, maybe take that defensive side, or you just think it's so evident that the defense is so needy of an influx of some youth that they just go defense the whole way?
You know, I would go defense all the way. I mean, you know, if they want to maybe pick up a tight end in the 7th round or something like that, you know, that might be one direction to go in. But overall, I think I would focus on the defense because, you know, the offense has already shown that it can be competitive. And, you know, although Sal wasn't too high on what they did in 2010, you know, I was kind of impressed in the explosiveness that they showed. You know, guys like Fred Jackson, you know, guys like Stevie Johnson, and we already brought up Ryan Fitzpatrick, guys that all stepped up and did pretty well, I think. So I think, you know, the missing component there is the defense, because if they get anything out of this pass rush, you know, if they can maybe turn 27 sacks into 40 sacks, you know, I think that might translate into 3 more wins right there. So I think it all starts with the defense.
Yeah, you know, and you're right. Sal definitely wasn't that impressed by what they did offensively. I mean, you know, not observing the Bills on a weekly basis, but, you know, seeing them, you know, come and go, I thought they were great. And, you know, I was looking at some stuff. I mean, Trent Edwards in his 5 seasons, he had 26 touchdowns, and Fitzpatrick threw 23 alone last season, and that was minus 2 games. I mean, he had come into a week 3, so – you know, I definitely thought there was a jolt. And, like, I remember, you know, the Ravens game. I mean, they were in that game. They could have won that game. They took the Steelers. I think they took the Steelers to overtime.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, the team plays hard. I think that's something to say what Chan Gailey's done. I mean, they play hard, and sometimes the talent isn't there, so you just can't, you know, stay toe for toe, step for step when they just outclass you. But, I mean, I think they're headed in the right direction. And, you know, I hope they stick with Fitzpatrick. I think he's a nice story, the kid from Harvard. You know, he finally gets his shot. And, you know, I thought this might make you laugh because I was curious. Brian Brohm had a 17.9 passer rating last season, and that's the same points per game as Manu Ginobili from the San Antonio Spurs. So I just thought that was some quirky. You know, I was like, 17.9. I mean, what do you do? I mean, what don't you do, basically, to get 17.9? So I'm thinking, what guy from the NBA? So 17.9, Manu Ginobili from the Spurs, and that was Brian Baum's passer rating last season. Well, Ralph, I think we're going to wrap this show up. I think we covered all the bases for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, before we shut this show down, is there anything you want those listeners to hear before we close things out?
No, except for the fact that, you know, we're going to be covering these on-the-clock segments throughout the offseason. We're going to be covering each and every team from Monday through Thursday, and people should tune in if they want to hear about, you know, some of the prospects that people usually don't talk about. If they, you know, they want to hear about, you know, what, you know, about, you know, like the Bills, who they're going to take in the 3rd or 4th round or 5th round or 6th round. what the team needs are and stuff like that. So if you're a diehard football fan, this is the place to be on these on-the-clock segments.
Excellent. Ralph Mancini, the NFL Draft Bible main man. Ralph, I know I appreciate you having on. It was fun. You know, I talked to Dan Mugagnon earlier before we did the show, and we were kind of joking around about remember back in the day when, like, we would do, like, those two-hour Monday night shows, and we'd have, like, 15 guys coming on, and the phone lines would be, like, a kid would call in 10 minutes late, and this guy would call in 10 minutes early, and you're sitting there, and you're looking at all these phone numbers popping off up on the screen, and it was just such a train wreck, but we got through it, you know, and do you recall the same thing? I mean, what's your reaction to all that stuff?
Yeah, you know what happens sometimes is when you talk to so many guys, so many of these prospects, you end up being fans of them, and then you follow them down the road into the NFL, and you're just, like, rooting them on, and you're hoping that they're successful. You brought up a guy like Brian Brohm. You know, there was a guy that I remember, you know, Dan and I used to do shows on Friday nights, and we used to talk to the guy, like, every couple of weeks we used to talk to him, and, you know, he was a very nice guy, very intelligent person. And it's kind of sad to see, you know, his career not take off in the NFL. So, you know, talking to so many people, as you have especially, you kind of become almost a fan of these guys, and you kind of root them on, you know, as they make their journey through the NFL.
Yeah, Ralph, I'm so glad you brought that up because, doing what we're doing, you do build relationships. And, you know, we talk to so many different guys, and not everybody has to be a Tim Tebow. We talk to plenty of guys who are bubble guys that might be a seventh free agent type guy. And that said, Chase Bullock, the former Maryland linebacker, you know, we really hit it off nice. And, you know, we'd talk back and forth while he was going through training camp a few years ago. And he was with the Cardinals, and I remember he texted me that morning. He's like, today's the day. And, you know, I even told my wife, I said, you know, you got to pray for Chase, man. This is his day. And I remember, you know, he texted me later, and they ended up cutting him. And it was sad. I mean, I was sad. I mean, you know, my family was sad. We were sad. You know what I mean? Because, like you said, you start rooting for these guys. It's not a team anymore. It's the individual. And that's something I think that changes as you kind of grow and get into the business. It's not so much, hey, I like the Bills and I don't like the Cowboys.
Right.
It's kind of like,
right.
Hey, you know what? Ralph Mancini is a good guy. And I like what he brings to the table. He's a good dude, so I want to see him be successful. So, Ralph, we got two minutes left.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, man.
I was going to say, realistically, you know, these guys are only going to have 4 or 5 year careers most of the time. You just want to see them be successful in those 3, 4, or 5 years or whatever it is.
Excellent. Well, hey, Ralph, I appreciate you. I know you made the show go so much faster than me just babbling by myself. So on the clock, Buffalo Bills, Ralph Mancini, Bo Marchant. Make sure you go to www.NFLDraftBible. There you can find the latest podcast. You can find out all the other on-the-clock shows. I know we did the Panthers. We've done the Broncos. Tomorrow night, on the clock, 6:30 here, Block Talk Radio. All Access Football on the clock with the Cincinnati Bengals. That's another show you don't want to miss. Ralph, appreciate you, man, and I will see you in Indianapolis this weekend, brother.
Absolutely. It's been a lot of fun.
Excellent. Thanks for listening, folks. Remember, www.NFLDraftBible.com. There you're going to find the latest on your NFL draft news. And every Thursday, 5 to 6, Draft Digest with our host, Dan Mugagnon. Remember, check that out. Thanks for listening.